Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Tally Fraser, and I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and James Forsyth. There were some pretty unusual scenes in Luxembourg today, where British officials pulled out of a press conference last minute when it became clear it was going to be staged in front of a crowd of baying protesters. This is what it sounded like. But Xavier Bettel, the Luxembourg Prime Minister, decided to have the press conference himself, walking up to the podium and, in the picture of the day, pointed to the empty podium beside him where Boris Johnson was supposed to be standing. James, press conferences are usually not held very nearby to protesters. Is Number 10 seeing this as some sort of hostile act to put him near people who are trying to shut him down?
I think there is definite frustration in Number 10 that the Luxembourg PM, Xavier Bettel, decided to go ahead with the press conference once they pulled out. Their argument was not rocket science. It was simply those. It was so noisy with the protest outside. They weren't going to get hurled. Why not do it inside? What is not exactly the most friendly of acts. The Luxembourg PM said, no, we'll go ahead and do it outside just without you. And I think it's immediately, though, it gets played through this Leave Remain prism. Which means that Remainers are like, oh my God, look how badly these Brexit talks are going. There's not going to be a deal. Listen to Xavier Bettel, so how the Leave campaign was based on lies. And this is all the British government's fault. Anyway, Boris Johnson's holding the country hostage for political reasons. Whereas Leavers are like, oh, those condescending Europeans. That's why we chose to leave. He's, you know, how dare the Prime Minister of Luxembourg treat this country like this, blah, 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 blah. So you can see the battle lines being drawn. My gut instinct is that voters don't like this country being disrespected, and this will feel more like Britain being disrespected than Boris Johnson making a diplomatic gaffe. So, I mean, I suspect it doesn't end up playing out that badly. I also think it probably has obscured the much more important meeting today, which was the lunch between Boris Johnson and Jean-Claude Juncker as the president of a commission. I think there is another question here, which is, you know, given how keen the EU side is to look reasonable at the moment, because their suspicion is that the British government will try, or the Boris Johnson would like to try and blame them for a no deal. So they are trying to be, you know, that's why they always say the European Commission is available 24/7 for discussions. You know, whenever you've got ideas, come and see us. I suspect there won't be entire European unanimity about whether today's developments were a good look.
And Bettel made some quite strong comments when he took the press conference alone, calling Brexit a joke to almost applause from the crowds, and saying that he'd heard a lot about changes but not read a lot about ideas for any new agreements.
I think there is a tension, which is the UK government doesn't want to produce any legal text at the moment because it knows that it can basically only fulfil two of the three criteria that the EU have set for anything that replaces the backstop. The UK thinks it can deal with the question of, you know, no border infrastructure that contradicts the Good Friday Agreement and protecting the integrity of the EU single market. What they can't meet is the test of no checks on the island of Ireland, because what they want is, while there would be an all-Ireland zone for agriculture in essence, there would still be differing sets of goods regulations between Northern Ireland and the Republic.
So, Fraser, what did you expect to come out of the lunch today?
We were never going to get a sort of great white smoke coming out of this lunch. It was supposed to be about body language, about showing whether Boris Johnson and Jean-Claude Juncker were actually going to do a deal. And it's a shame, because that will have been now completely overshadowed by this stunt which Luxembourg pulled on Britain for reasons that just passed my understanding. Now, I think Juncker did his best to suggest that the talks were cordial. You had various foreign ministers lined up to say, oh, the Brits can't be serious because we've had nothing written down. Now, they are portraying this as, oh, the Brits are so unserious, there's no ideas at all on paper. Of course, there are very good diplomatic reasons why Britain is not putting his position down on paper, as James outlined. So you're getting, from my position as a Europhile, I thought this was a very bleak and very worrying day. Because I guess, as many Europhiles do, hope against hope that we can come to some sort of amicable resolution to this, that sure, Britain's leaving the EU, but does it have to be so hostile? Does Britain really have to be humiliated in this way? And also, you know how these scenes are going to go down in Britain. It's going to look like a stunt, like a hijack, like I am trying to rack my brains to think of when I have ever seen a foreign minister come to not just Britain, but any other country, placed metres away from a baying crowd who've got megaphones and are shouting, and for a press conference to be done in those circumstances. I just cannot imagine Britain ever treating a guest that way. In fact, I actually can't think of many other European states treating a guest that way either.
During the BSE scandal, didn't we serve various European leaders British beef, which was banned from being exported to a continent on fear of mad cow disease?
But that beef was perfectly safe and delicious as well. It was Scots beef, which we all know is the finest in Europe. Now, the thing is, James, sure, you can do little slights and humiliations, and we know Donald Tusk can mock Theresa May by giving her a cake and saying, sorry, don't take the cherry, even though she knows she's diabetic, so she doesn't eat cakes. You can get these. I mean, do you remember how badly the Salzburg snub went down? And it was that sort of choreography which just does make your average neutral-ish British person think we are being treated abominably. Now, my wider concern as a Europhile for this is a Brexit will end up with a serious diplomatic fissure. That after this is done, then Britain will simply not be part of the European diplomatic orbit in a way that I think it should be, and I want it to be, that there will be so much bad blood spilled that stunts like this will pile on top of each other and make it very difficult to heal afterwards. Now, I know that, you might say, well, Fraser, you supported Brexit, what did you expect? And there will be people who think that there is no such thing as a good Brexit, but I disagree. I think you can have a Brexit which does the minimum harm to Britain's European connections. I met David Cameron this morning and interviewing him for the magazine. And while it's all embargoed, he was making this point as well, that Britain can absolutely restore its relations with Europe, but not if our diplomacy continues in this way. Now, of course, you can also argue Luxembourg, that's not even a country. It's basically got population less than Bristol. Does it really matter what stunts its publicity-seeking Prime Minister puts on? Again, that's not quite the way I see it. I think these things do matter, and I think it's a great shame that what ought to have been positive choreography with the lunch with Juncker was overshadowed by this stunt today.
There is an irony here, which is that the reason they've gone to Luxembourg is that Boris Johnson didn't want to go to Brussels because he feared, in number 10, they feared that all these Theresa May trips to Brussels had looked like begging moments. So instead the decision was made to go to the Grand Duchy, and they've ended up with a low blow from the Grand Duchy. And so, you know, this is the pitfalls of all this. But I suspect that this Luxembourg moment, excited as we all may be about it at the moment, that pales into insignificance compared to what was said behind closed doors at this lunch, which we won't find out, you know, for a wee while, I suspect. That is where the action was today, not in the meeting between Boris Johnson and Xavier Bettel.
And the statements that came out after the lunch from Juncker and from Johnson, they were quite different in how they'd thought the lunch had gone. What do you think this means?
I mean, the UK side is broadly feeling much more positive, bullish about the chance of a deal than the EU side, certainly the Commission side. I think that the number 10 feel they've made some progress with national capitals, but you know, and that isn't yet reflected in terms of the Commission's thinking. I think the problem is first of all, Boris Johnson is the most optimistic person in number 10 about the chance of getting a deal. So is that slightly skewing what people are thinking? And secondly, as someone who's been watching this almost since 2016, as it was saying to me earlier, there is a sense that European capitals feel that they, when they're polite and when they say, yes, of course, we'll listen to what you have to say and what you have to say, that the Brits get too excited, but the Brits respond by thinking that a deal is closer than it is. But I do think there is some movement on, there's definitely some movement from the DUP, and there's some movement from the European side in that. I think it's a crucial factor that, you know, several European governments, including the French, have now concluded that the UK staying in after an ugly and divisive second referendum would actually be a bad result for the EU in and of itself, because UK membership would become would be such a continuing matter of controversy, but it would just end up throwing sand in the works of European unions on a fairly regular basis whenever you got a government of a more Eurosceptic bent. So I think that is probably the best chance of some kind of deal, which is just a simple desire on the EU side to get this done.
And Fraser, if you were an MP wanting a deal, would you feel more hopeful after today's lunch?
I'm afraid I wouldn't. I mean, it's like, as James says, a lot more depends on the diplomacy than the choreography. But the choreography does help set the mood music, and I suspect the net result of this will be to increase the appetite for no deal. I mean, some people looking at it will just think, look, we are never going to win in this environment. All they want to do is laugh at us and humiliate us. And the funny thing was, I mean, James says it will be seen as a snub to the country. But I bet that 9 out of 10 people who are protesting outside those lecterns were probably Brits, either expat Brits or there'll be the likes of Andrew Adonis who might have taken the train over for the day.
I think this is one of the dangers, though, which is slightly that you do get a sense where European leaders end up playing to a gallery, thinking that these things are going down in a very different way from the way that they are. And I think that is one of the challenges of Brexit, is that, you know, politics doesn't stop at the water's edge anymore. So you have this kind of whole sense of, you know, there was a very interesting Bruno Waterfield piece in the Times the other day, basically saying that, you know, many on the EU side of the negotiations in Brussels regret how much they were influenced by, you know, Tony Blair and people like that, saying, oh, if this happens, that will happen, because those predictions haven't been entirely borne out by events, and they're now stuck with Brexit still going on when actually what the EU would most like is for this to all go away and be done with.
James and Fraser, thanks very much. You can subscribe to Coffee House Shots on the iTunes store or take out a 1 month free trial for the magazine on spectator.co.uk/subscribe. Thanks for listening, and thanks to our producer, Adam Cherry.